Women of all ages suffer from body dissatisfaction. Please be forewarned, this rant might be a little triggering. We are a product of influence, family, socializing, advertising, fashion, and social media. Influence is the capacity to affect character, development, or behavior. And maybe that's why the concept of the influencer drives me fucking batty. There are so many layers as to why I feel that the influencer market is such a racket of insincerity and capitalism. I've had multiple targeted ads hit my algorithm selling the get rid of unwanted menopausal body fat. I've had personal trainers, male, slide into my DMs on various platforms, pitching programs for the older woman. I'm sorry, but what the fuck do you know about women in their 50s? Abso-fucking nothing. It's exhausting seeing so many influencers and brands targeting menopause with misinformation paired with treating us like we are a medical problem that they are empowered to save. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Social media is media. It's selling. It's selling you aspects of life that they hope that you will want to buy into. We are about to enter the season of how to get a bikini body, which is such an archaic, unhealthy media rhetoric. We see these fashion headlines and feel compelled to try and live up to this misogynistic standard. And when we can't, we tend to drop self-deprecating humor or self-criticism as to why we can't emulate this body myth. When you draw attention to your body, unfortunately, some take it as you just gave them permission to add to the conversation. Non-consensual conversations about each other's bodies is completely inappropriate. I was on set last year working on an all-female set for a female empowering project. It was a fantastic project until one of the women out of the blue shoved her hand into my dress, grabbing my breast, laughing while making remarks about my body. I did nothing. I said nothing. I still reflect on that day, imagining handling it differently. Did she think it was okay because we were all women? What compelled her to touch me? Was I giving off that in her head, like somehow I gave her fucking permission to touch me? Yes, I see that it's fucked up. And yes, she assaulted me. I told my husband, my kids, and a couple of clients, and now you. I don't love my aging body. I am trying. As a hairstylist with a private studio, I have had many women in my chair over the years talk about their bodies and how they're unhappy about them. I honestly don't think I've ever had a woman in my chair who has brought up that conversation in a positive manner. And I've had tons of stunning women of all shapes, sizes, and ages in my chair. It's really unfortunate that that is our takeaway on ourselves year after year. Having worked in an industry enveloped in appearance, there is this misconception that models and celebrities look the way they do because they won the genetic lottery. And while there is an inkling of truth to that, it doesn't happen without the work. I know many who are in the public eye where part of their daily schedule is going to the gym. There is a waterfall effect dumping on us hard, and it's really easy to feel like you're drowning while you're trying to keep your head above that water. This is where social media can actually do good, exposing industries where models and celebrities are sharing what they've had to go through to look that way. So we realize it's not just winning the genetic lottery. More and more are also sharing using Ozempic, as they feel the pressures from studios, networks, and agents to maintain a certain silhouette in order to get or maintain jobs. On one hand, I applaud some of these people who acknowledge that this is what they're doing, as it makes them more real to us. Although now permission seems to be granted for advertisers to target more women seeking that unattainable beauty grail. I was brought up with a lot of female empowerment around me, but I can say the downfall has been the body image influence. And I don't even blame the women in my family because that misogynistic mindset is so subtly in the background that we don't even realize it. During our time living in Singapore, we didn't come home every Christmas, but during one of the odd Christmases home, I remember sitting in my mother's living room with my aunts, female cousins, and whoever else was there, where they were doing their usual clothing swap. I don't know if the conversation had changed over the years, or maybe my absence gave me an opportunity to step back and hear it for the first time, but things being said were, "Oh, I don't wear this dress anymore because I just don't have the narrow hips like I used to," as they toss it to another family member for them to consider. Or, I think this would look so much better on you because you have bigger boobs than I have, and other body conversations with the best intentions, of course, but appear negative when you see it from a fresh lens. And regardless of who it is, when somebody makes a comment about your body, it's implying that there's been a judgment made. Anyway, I got up, I said nothing, and I just left the room. Like, how do we end this cycle? We need to see more embracing versus shaming. And it's that kind of like micro shaming, you know? I think what I want to leave you with here is to understand that it's okay to get up and leave the room. Welcome to the Fuck You 50s. Welcome to the Fuck You 50s, the podcast for women who refuse to tolerate the bullshit anymore. This is real talk, real stories, and a long overdue reality check. I'm your host, Andrea Clare, and this podcast is the filter-free voice you've been waiting for, with a dose of F-bombs. The Fuck You 50s. Unfiltered, unapologetic, and undeniably needed. My guest today is Jennifer Appleby Vines. She is the CEO of Georgette Packaging, who takes the lead in supporting food entrepreneurs. My producer, Amy, pointed me in Jennifer's direction, and I had to have her on, even if only for her empowering, sweet dance moves that she shares on her unfiltered Instagram. I asked Jennifer, for the women who feel passed over for CEO leadership roles, any advice for them? And did she think that there's an age where it's like, oh, sorry, babe, it's too late, you missed that CEO boat? Jennifer bluntly says, no, fuck that. She recently turned 50 and found herself reevaluating her approach to life, mostly by saying, fuck it, I'm going to do what makes me happy. And you know what? We love that here. Go out and do what makes you happy. Like the dancing that you're doing. That's like, that's incredible. Thank like you. I'm watching it. Not only is it like so super sexy, but it's also like, I envision myself falling over, like just not being able to do it. When I was living in Singapore, a friend of mine asked me to go to, there was like a hip hop dance class. And I was like, I'm not a dancer. I'm not a trained dancer. I got kicked out of ballet when I was like 4 years old. But I was like cocky, you know, like growing up in the 80s and dancing at clubs and whatever. I'm like, I could do it. No problem. Oh my God. I decided to be the class clown because I could not keep up and I just made jokes and I think I annoyed everybody, but whatever.
Yeah, though it was my exact same experience in hip hop. I was like, that was the first class I did. And I'm totally cocky going in because I love going out dancing at clubs. Like my 20s in like was from the entire 90s, right? And all I did was go out and dance at clubs and I'm the last one off the dance floor all the time. So I was like, oh, I could do this. But it's like choreographed hip hop is a whole different thing. And like, yeah, I didn't grow up, although I grew up moving my body like that, similarly on the dance floor, like so many of the kids now, like hip hop wasn't a dance class you could take when I was a kid, right? Like I took dance class, but it was tap, ballet and jazz and that was it. And yeah, like this, having that in movement was, it humbles me every time. Still.
And this one, I was looking through your Instagram. So I think there was one that you did with a choreographer that was like, was it Slay with Miss J or Slay with J or something?
Yeah, Slay with J. Yeah, Jessica Singh's her name. Yeah.
And then I went on like a rabbit hole that I started like looking at so many videos and I'm like, wow, it's so incredible. So when did you start doing that? When did that become like it's like a hobby for you?
Like just before I turned 50, like late 40s, I'd been thinking about it for a long time. I'd been, you know, with my kids growing up, you know, it's hard to get stuff in for yourself that's like outside activities, right? So once the kids were out of the house and I started looking at it, like I said, I went to my first hip hop class with Jessica and I was like, oh man, I don't know. And of course, everybody's 20, right? Like, or 25 or 30. And I'm like, oh my God. But she was really great and just really inclusive. And so I kept going back and then I tried this heels and I was like, she used to do like drop-ins. Like you could just pay $20 and go do a drop-in and try a style. And I was like, well, give it a try. Why not? And actually it turned out because it's more of an organic kind of a movement. Like it's just, and it's a little more jazzy, you know, pointing your toes and your fingers. Like that's what I'm used to from like dance class as a kid. So so I just fell in love with it.
I guess that one, like heels almost remind me of Chicago, the musical, like that kind of.
Totally. It's a totally burlesque vibe, right? And then I've like taken cheer classes and yeah, it's just super fun. Yeah.
So how often do you do that in a week?
So the place where I'm taking now, it's called Underdog Studio in Waterloo. And what they do is they offer little 5-week sessions where you learn a bit of choreography over 5 weeks and it's once a week. So, and then they also do drop-ins, so you can just, you know, like I've signed up to do a jazz funk class because I haven't done jazz in a while. So, it's usually once a week. I don't do it a whole lot more than that. It's still finding the time to fit it in, but I honestly, if I could, I would do it all the time. If I didn't have like my husband being like, "Are you ever going to be home?" I'd probably go out and do it every night of the week. Like, I love it.
Well, it looks fun, and you completely look like you're having fun with it as well. I mean, I should see if there's something like that in Toronto. I would love to take that up.
Oh, there is. Oh, there 100% is. Yeah, absolutely. Because that's I first found places in Toronto, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to drive all the way to Toronto. And then I just stumbled across Jessica on Instagram and was like, oh. And then yeah, just kind of went from there. So yeah, it's very freeing. Like I said, it so ties into the whole like, fuck it, I'm 50. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks if it makes me happy. And that's literally like it just brings me joy, right? To dance. Like it just always has. And so having that outlet, I'm no longer out in clubs. I mean, my girlfriends and I still do that when we get together once a year, but we're always the oldest, right? But whatever, we don't care.
So, were you going to like Phil's grandson's place? And I'm trying to make, was it Club Abstract? And
Yeah, absolutely, right? So they came to visit. My girlfriends are now all over. They're in Halifax and whatever. And so once a year we get together and do this. They came here last year. That we stayed at my place. I kicked my husband out and we went to room 47 in Uptown Waterloo. And it was pretty good. Like it's a very mixed crowd. It's the old Starlight.
okay, yeah. Can you tell I grew up in Kitchener-Waterloo, so I know like a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Because all the play like when we were together here, we met at Laurier, we went to the Turret, we went to the Twist, like those places aren't around anymore. So that was fun. But honestly, our favorite thing to do is we go to Halifax, where my girlfriend lives, and there's a place downtown called Boomers. It's not Boomers as in like the generation Boomers. It's like this crappy little dive restaurant. They literally serve like Pabst Blue Ribbon and chicken fingers all day long. But then at 8 o'clock on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, it turns into a club and all the university students show up and it's all 80s, 90s, 2000s music. It's crazy. So we went there. The one we treat my friend Tracy was like, you gotta come. It's Halloween weekend in Halifax. And so we went on Halloween weekend and it was awesome. Like we knew all the songs and what we do is we like make friends with the girls on the dance floor, you know, and they're just, we're like, oh, you're so cute. And they're like, oh my God, it's so awesome that you're out here. It's so much fun. And
Nice.
the one guy turned around in line and was like, what are you guys dressed up as? Because we weren't dressed up. My friend was like, we're 50-year-old women. That's what we're dressed up
Yeah.
as, you know?
We're dressed up as the Real Housewives of, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
That's great. I mean, I love that you have to like fly to Halifax to, go to a real fun night.
Whatever it takes. Literally,
Yeah.
like 1 year, I was just like, oh, I feel like dancing. And I booked a cheap flight from, you know, on Flair from here to Halifax for like $100. And her and I
Nice.
went out and just like when, yeah, it was awesome.
That's
So
great.
gotta
That's
take it, gotta get it where you gotta take it where you can get it, right?
exactly 100%. So I was kind of Googling you and doing some recon, and I noticed that you have a fantastic score on Glassdoor, which
Yeah.
is amazing, right? And those who don't know, Glassdoor is a opportunity for people to go and rate their bosses or their like where they work, their employment. So
Yeah.
what do you think has kind of added to that success? Because that's such a great, fantastic rating that you have.
Thank you. Yeah, it's and I'm really happy about it because it's certainly a place where people do go look, right? You know, I was an employee for a very long time in lots of different businesses. I haven't always been an entrepreneur, and I know what it's like to work for different types of managers and different types of leaders. And I sort of like I'm far from perfect. Nobody is, but every day I try and sort of harness that information, right? And be like, what kind of leader do I want to be? I'm very collaborative. I always have been, but I think I'm a lot more collaborative than most leaders. Obviously, there's some times where it has to be top down. This is my decision. Too bad, you know, it is what it is because it's my company. But for the most part, I really approach everything as like, I don't know everything. You know, and I don't always make good decisions. Like, left to my own devices, sometimes I'll make a quick bad decision. And I'd rather talk to people, talk to my team, trust them. You know, if I've hired the right people, trust them to give me their feedback. So I think that really plays into it. It's definitely a very collaborative atmosphere. There's a lot of, I really just try and empower people. Like, my dream scenario is like, I tell this to my team a lot. Like, my dream scenario is like a problem comes up, you guys solve it, and then tell me about it later. Like, that would be amazing, and I know that can't happen all the time, but
Off at dance class.
yeah, exactly. So I think that's part of it. We also just, the company was originally founded by another woman, Sarah Landstreet, who's quite a feminist herself and a really powerful woman leader. I kind of continued the culture in some ways and hopefully have improved it, but she also just created a culture where of fun as well and joy. Like, we have workplace values, and one of them is joy, like find the joy in everything. And we take time in the middle of the day to go do a scavenger hunt, or we do like socials, or we come together for breakfast every 2 weeks, and just somebody takes we all take turns bringing in breakfast for the group, and just literally just sit around and shoot the shit, like water cooler stuff, right? Which is, I think, really especially more important in this day and age when we're not seeing each other every day and it's hybrid and all of that, to keep those connections. So that's a real big part of it too, right?
Yeah, so a good like team building, team bonding kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, without overdoing it, like it has to be sincere, right?
How big is your company?
We're very small right now. We're only six of us right now, with one being on parental leave. We've had a lot of changes. We have been as big as I think 13 or 14 at one point a few years ago. Just a lot with ownership changes and different things over the last few years. It varies, and that's fine. But it's still a lot going on. Still a lot to manage. So, but it's good. I like having a tight little team.
And so your company is called Georgette, right? Georgette Packaging. And then so why don't you just kind of like share to the audience or listeners like what does that entail? Like packaging, clearly.
Yeah, for sure. We are, so Georgette Packaging is a packaging broker, which means I like to define it as like, think about your mortgage broker, right? You go to them, they go out and do all the work, they get all the quotes, they know which suppliers are vetted and good to work with and all of that. They come back to you with the best options based on your timeline, your price point, all of that. So that's what we do, which really is a huge advantage because it allows people a one source of contact to order, 10 different types of packaging. Again, they're saving the time. We're doing all of that work for them. And we specialize in food and retail businesses, hospitality and retail. So a lot of donut boxes, a lot of coffee cups, locally in Kitchener-Waterloo, For All Ice Cream is a really important client of ours. She's been with us since day one, and I love working with Ajwa. So she's awesome. So those are the kind of businesses we like to support. And it just falls into my wheelhouse because I worked in hospitality for 20 years. So, and I worked my way up through the charcoal group. So high-end restaurants, ran a restaurant before I left, then left and started my own food business, Crummy Cookie Dough, locally. We sold edible cookie dough. We sold it off. It is still in business. But I know what it's like to work in that industry. It's a very, very different kind of industry. But I also really strongly believe in marketing and branding. Like, when we started Crummy, one of the very first things we did was get our branding in line, start ordering packaging, like, because we just knew how important it was. So it's a nice marriage of all of that. I can empathize with the lives these clients are living in their food entrepreneur space, and still support them on their journey. So yeah, that's what we do.
That's great. And then so I was going to ask you too. So there's a lot of I feel like there's a lot of women that kind of get passed over on like CEO leadership kind of jobs. Do you have any advice for women in that regard? Like do you think that there's an age where it's like, well, sorry, it's too late, you missed that boat,
No,
or
fuck
maybe
that.
they Great
No,
answer.
absolutely not. No, I mean, on that note, I love nothing more than seeing, and not just a woman, but certainly a woman who, like, I follow so many women on Instagram who are like in their 80s and lifting weights, or just started doing whatever in their 70s, and I'm like, oh, it's so inspiring. Like, that is hashtag goals, right? Like, it is never too late, 100%. I think as a woman, if you're looking to advance your career, I mean, there's all those statistics that we probably all have heard in terms of, like, men will apply for a job if they only have 60% of the qualifications, women wait till they have 100%. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. It is, it's something you have to get over in yourself, of like having the confidence to go forward with that. For me, some of the stuff in my career was I was tapped for some of it. I went after it really, it's kind of all over the place. A lot of it was in my early days was like being the employee who like was always there, was responsible, was professional, was always willing to go the extra mile. And by that, I don't mean like working 80 hours a week. I just mean like thinking more critically about situations and being like, oh, how do we fix that? How do we solve that problem? Even if it
Right,
wasn't my
the
job,
forward
figuring it out,
thinking.
jumping in, right? And being like, okay, this isn't my job, but this is going to make the company better. So how do I figure this out? And then, the leaders recognizing that and being like, oh, you could go over here and you could do this. And it gave me all the skills that have led to where I am today, right? So I think it's just being that person, showing up and being that person and always thinking critically, but then also having the confidence, or if you don't fake it till you make it, like if you don't have the confidence, pushing yourself to be like, no, I think I can do that. I have most of the qualifications. I can do that, and not listening to that voice inside your head that, tells you otherwise, right? Easier said than done, I know, but
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean, I always find even for myself. I mean, not to. Sometimes I feel like I'm dumbing it down talking about hair and makeup, but it's like it's easier to give advice to people like, oh, you do this with your skincare, do that. But half the time, I go to bed with my makeup on, whatever.
yeah, of course. We all wish it could follow our own advice, right? But I
Exactly.
think as you get older, like to me, that is the benefit of 50 and aging is like you have the wisdom, you've been through things, you know you're gonna come out the other side, right? Like I kind of liken it to like the analogy to me is like somebody said to me at one point, and it was true in my life, like your very first breakup when you're a teenager. I don't know if this resonates for you guys, but like I had a boyfriend break up with me when I was 13, and it was probably like the worst breakup of my life because I thought my world was over, right? Like, because I'd never been through it before, and he dumped me, and everybody knew, and I was like, I was devastated, right? Like, I still remember the sobbing, right? And like, as I got into high school and dated other people, and was, not that I wasn't upset, but like, I knew I could come out of it, right? So I think that analogy plays with just general life and wisdom and age. As you get to this point, I'm like, you know what? I faked that situation and I made it work. I can do it again. I can do this. I can do that. And just trusting your judgment, right? Because you've been through it and you've proven yourself right in different situations.
And I guess too, it's like taking from your like failures or mishap. Like, I mean, we learn from our experiences, right? So that's kind of what you're saying right there.
Absolutely. When you're 25, you're like, I don't know, I've never done this before, right? But now I'm 50 and I'm like, I've done that, or I've done something similar, or I've known somebody who's done it, or whatever, and you just take all that knowledge and internalize it, right?
I got fired from the very first hair salon that I worked at, and that was Frenzy in Waterloo. The owner was a complete jackass. Told me that I would amount to nothing in this career, and that I should just find something else. And I think I was 18 or 19, and so that always stayed with me. And I almost feel like that kind of added to like challenging me to just kind of like I can fucking do this. And so I ended up, moving to Toronto, doing trade school, because at the time when I worked at Frenzy, I was just an apprentice. Worked at a salon in Yorkville, and as my life kind of unfolded, then I ended up, being on television, doing makeover shows, and Lisa hairstyles for Fashion Week and Canadian Idol, and like blah 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 blah. And it was kind of like that mentality is I'll fucking show
Yeah,
you.
absolutely. Don't tell me I can't do it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I find it shocking. So I was again like just kind of doing some research, and on Statistics Canada, so the current numbers, I would assume, it says only 23% of Canadian women are CEOs. 23%. Like,
Yeah.
that's
It's crazy.
ridiculously low.
What did I saw something recently, like there's more mics. There's more CEOs named Mike than there are female CEOs or something. Like it's crazy, right?
That is
Like
crazy.
more white guys named Mike than
So, like, are there programs and things that are, do you know, like that are kind of leading to like helping women advance, or is it something that we kind of need to do on
there
our own?
100% are, especially in this region. I feel like this area is so entrepreneurial focused, whether it's I was trying to explain this to a woman who called me the other day too. She was starting up this women's network in Toronto, and she had reached out to see if I'd be interested. And I was like, honestly, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to drive into Toronto once a month, but let me tell you, you should be looking at water. I'm like, you should be looking at Waterloo, man. Like, there is absolutely space here for a chapter of women entrepreneurs. Like, it's whether it's our Mennonite roots or whether it's BlackBerry, you know, training all these people. And then when they went under, they went all off and did their own things. Like, there's so many factors that have led to it. But, you know, we are a very entrepreneurial region. And so therefore there are, like, there's a female, we co-work out of Communitech. We rent space in Communitech. There's a few different programs out of Communitech specifically for tech, but that support female founders. There's, I participated when we had Crummy. I participated in one out of an accelerator in Guelph that was specifically called Rise Up for female founders. There's all kinds of them. If you just get out there and look and start talking to people, and, you know, it's great, right? Like, I don't formally participate in anything right now around that, but I do absolutely recognize the importance of mentors and network now more than I ever have. Like, networking is kind of like a word where people are like, man, I hate that, you know, whatever. But, you know, a friend of Amy's and I put together recently this kind of mastermind dinner where she invited, like, you know, a dozen women. And that's kind of where I met Amy. And it was amazing, like, just get women around the table who are different stages of their careers and their lives and really just get them talking, because women are supportive. Like, we know better, I think, than men, like, I'll generalize, than how to be supportive of each other and how to collaborate. It is more natural to us. And so, you know, I'm not in anything formal, but I do recognize the importance of mentors and supporters and how important that is, especially as an entrepreneur when you're just trying to figure it out and the whole weight of everything is on your shoulders. And, you know, you sometimes need things to, you need to bounce things off other people. So I think that's such an important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you find that, I just want to quickly backtrack too, just for people that don't know that are listening, because Amy doesn't like jump in, but Amy is my producer. So shout out to Amy, lady in the corner that you can't see.
Yeah.
Back to, like, supporters. So I agree with you, like, women supporting women, like, you see that hashtag all the time. And a lot of times we do support each other. Now, I personally find, and no offense to, like, some of my friends out there, but I personally find most of my supporters are coming from women who I've networked with and met. They're not necessarily friends. Now, I don't want to say, again, to my good friends that are listening and following, and I appreciate that. That is, you know, recognized. But I, it's funny, like, I have a few friends who I have asked them for feedback, saying, like, oh, like, I've dropped, like, 5 episodes now. Like, what do you think? Andrea, I haven't been listening. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I don't even know what to say to that. I'm like, okay, you know,
I wonder what that is. If it's just like this foundation of friendship you already have, and they know, like, you know, where when you meet somebody in business and it's more recent, there's maybe a bit more of, like, you want to prove to each other, you know, that you're supporting. Whereas if, like, if you had a friend for 20 years, you already know you're supporting each other.
Yeah,
you don't listen to your podcast, right? But yeah.
So what do you have any kind of other advice, like, for women that are wanting to kind of see, like, are there signs maybe at the current workplace that they have that maybe it's just not for them, and maybe they should look at that? Like, maybe their advancement's not where they're at, but maybe they need to move to another job. Maybe they need to open up their own.
Easy to say, I know, but, like, and I'm not, because I wouldn't, like, you know, what comes to mind is, they'll follow your passion and whatever. And that's not, you know, for me, that's not how I ended up where I am. I was never, like, passionate about packaging, you know? So it's not that simple for everyone. Some people do have one thing that they want to do and they're meant to do. And if you have that urge, follow it, do it, figure it out, right? Especially in today's world, like, my daughter's an artist and she struggled for years. Like, do I do art as a hobby? Do I do it? You know? And I think she still struggles to some extent, but I'm like, dude, like, in this world, like, it's not like you have to go out and get a job at a museum. Like, you can just be on Instagram, sell your art, and, you know, like, it's so easy, you know, right? To do kind of, like, be a YouTuber, be a podcaster. Like, there's a million ways. That doesn't mean it's easy. It's still hard work. But there's so many more opportunities and avenues open for passions to follow, right? But if you don't have that, like, and not everybody does, and I never did, I didn't have that one thing. I just knew I was a leader. I knew I was somebody who like to work with other people, like to make change. I think it's just like if you're in a situation where that's not, it's not working for you, then change it. Like, easy to say, you've got kids, you've got, but like, there's nothing worse than being in a situation at work where you're just unhappy.
Well, and then you're also not going that extra mile too. Like if you're unhappy for whatever reason, you're not going to put your efforts into it. I've been so a couple things.
Right. No, of course.
I've been listening on Audible. I bought the book, but I found I couldn't follow the book. But for some reason, I can follow it on Audible, like the Becoming of a Change Maker, which is a really, really great listen. Maybe a read if you can follow the reading. But then just about your daughter as an artist, like the one thing that I find interesting, so I consider myself an artist as well, right? And my youngest, actually all three of my kids are artists, but my youngest one goes to the Etobicoke School of the Arts, and she's in a musical theater program, wants to be a singer, a songwriter. And there have been people throughout the years, so she's in grade 11, who have said to her, oh, like what's going to be your backup career? And that's been one of the my biggest pet peeves, because I also kind of think like, don't say that to my child. Like if you have a child that's following the arts and you want to tell your child to pick a backup career, fine. But I kind of agree with you. It's kind of like following your passion, and there is so many different avenues there, right? So it's like for me as a hair and makeup artist, it's like now this is a new thing for me doing a podcast, but it's like I've done some bridal, which is not my passion, but I will do bridal. I mean, I sound like a snot with that, but you know what I mean?
I
It's
know
like
what you mean. I used to do catering. I get it. Yeah. No, I, yeah, we did wedding catering. I get it. Yeah.
And I'm always like I don't like the wedding market. Like I'm not like a wedding makeup artist. I always say to people, like you can look at my breadth of work, my portfolio, and if it resonates with you, then I'm happy to do your wedding, But it's like again, it's like I've done things like running teams, I've done advertising, I've done like red carpet. So there, and so again with visual artists, like they could get into doing graphic design, they could get into doing creative direction, it all kind of falls in that like avenue. Yeah. And so and I think too, like you were saying, like there's all these opportunities too with like YouTube's in influencing, like TikTok, like a kind of spread your wings out, right?
Find your little niche, right?
Yeah. So I'm just curious too, is there any other kind of tips that you would kind of pass on to women that are kind of looking at maybe a career pivot, or I mean, you've said some really great things already.
Yeah, I can't think of much else. I mean, I think it really just comes down to like I've pivoted a bunch of times in my career and I thought I was going it, I think it's about being open, and I know like you hear that a lot, but that's absolutely true. Like I ended up at Georgette because I was done with the hospitality industry. I had left the charcoal group because I was just done with that lifestyle. And I knew I was opening this other food business, but it wasn't going to be able to pay me for a while. And I was convinced I was going to get into, because we're such a tech hub, I was going to get into customer success in tech. That was my focus. I was so sure that was where I was going, and interviewed and applied all over the place, had, knew, because I knew so many people from working at the charcoal for so long that were in that industry, people helping me, mentoring me, whatever. I ended up, I had a mentor who connected me with the owner of Georgette, and he was just like, just, she's, it's a great growing company. Have a look, go talk to her. Had a quick little meeting with Sarah, and she offered me a 30-day trial as a salesperson because I had never done like this kind of sales, like outbound and all of that. And literally that's how it started. I needed something to pay the bills. I was driving Skip and Uber just to help my husband support, me while I figured out what I was doing next, thinking I was just going to get into tech, whatever. Tried out as a 30-day salesperson. 2 weeks into that, I was like, nah, this is not for me. I am not into cold calling and, whatever. But then somebody announced they were pregnant, who was in the operations side, and I approached her and I was like, hey, I don't think sales is for me, but I can help you there. Like, and it just, snowballed from there, right? Like just being open to whatever life is like. We all, I'm not like a super planner, but some people like, you have a 5-year plan or where you think you're going to be. Like, are you where you thought you were going to be 5 years ago? Because chances are you're probably not, right? You're probably in somewhere, because life throws shit at you, right? And you just deal with it. So I really think it's just about, yeah, it's totally about being open to whatever, right? And trying it out, giving it a try.
I guess too that when you're open, like sometimes just the opportunities just kind of come to you, right? So it sounds like that's kind of what happened with you, which is amazing.
Sure. And you'd be smart. You don't want to say yes to everything because, sometimes it's not a good idea or whatever, but just because it's different. Like, I'd never been a salesperson, but I was like, oh, I'll try it. And here I am 7 years later and I own the company, right?
Yeah.
So like I did not know that was coming 7 years ago. So
That's great. As you've been getting older, have you like found any challenges that you face being like an old, like, I would say older woman because I hate that terminology, but somebody with experience in the workforce? Have you found any challenges with that? Or has it just been kind of smooth sailing, or it depends on who you're dealing with?
Yeah, I don't, not yet. I don't see, but then I've been in this position for the last 3 or 4 years. And so, you know, as a owner and leader, I don't know that that's, you know, I'm not butting up against people above me or anything like that. We'll see as it progresses. Like, I think our society does is ageist in general. My husband is almost 10 years older than me, and he has experienced just like, you know, he would, when he's now stepped back from his full-time job, but when he was in his full-time job, he would sometimes come home and be like, you know, I just feel like people were talking to me today like I was stupid. Like, I'm the stupid old guy in the room, you know, like, and he was like, I don't think I've changed. I don't, you know, but he's like, I just sometimes feel every once in a while I get the vibe that people are like, yeah, you're just an old guy. You know, you don't know what you're talking about, right? As he approached 60 and thereabouts, right? And, you know, so I'm kind of aware of that, like that. And I can see that a little bit even sometimes, like with younger staff members who are like trying to school me in something tech, and or they're surprised when I know something tech related, right? Like, or they're surprised when I know current music or whatever, right? And they're like, whoa, I'm like, dude, like, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with being stuck in whatever. The 90s were great, but like, yeah, I'm, you know, it's okay. Like old people, older people can also keep up with the times, you know? So I do see the hints of it.
Yeah. I also think like with us at Gen X, like we seem to kind of like, we were, a lot of us were like latchkey kids doing stuff on our own. So it's just like, we just kind of know the progression. Like we just kind of like figure shit out on our own. Right.
Yeah.
And I've had people where it's like, you know, you get like a new iPhone or I don't know, something tech. And then someone, oh, like, oh, you know, ask one of your kids that can help you figure it out. I'm like, I always help them fucking figure it out. They don't know. Like I'm teaching them.
Yeah. Nobody helped me. Like, yeah, I've gone from complete analog life to complete digital life, and yeah, I've figured it out, right? Yeah, I mean, I think you had asked me at one point about resilience, and I think like 100% I do consider myself a very resilient person, and that doesn't mean everybody in our generation was resilient, but I do think there's something to be said for Gen X and latchkey. I was a latchkey kid. My parents separated when I was 12, and I literally came home and made dinner, let myself in, looked after my sister until my mother got home, right? No cell phones. If I fell off my bike 2 miles from home, I figured it out, right? I mean, I know it's cliche, but it's 100% true. It absolutely made me more resilient. And, you know, I think too, for me personally, I was fortunate to have role models of women. So my family, I, my sister and I like to say we come from a very long line of strong women. My mother, you know, her and my dad had a rocky relationship. It's all great now. Like everybody gets along, but they separated and, you know, she raised us as a single mom, basically. Her mother in the 50s got pregnant with twins as a single mother in a small town, gave birth to twins in 1954, raised them on her own. Her mother was a Mohawk Native Indian who married a white man, lost her status, you know, went through a lot as you can imagine, right? Went to a residential school. That was my great grandmother. So like, I have this incredible line of women to look up to. It wasn't always perfect. It's not, you know, there's lots of mess and lots of, you know, stuff going on there in our family, but it's still like, it informed my life for sure. And my sisters, you know, we have this line of women to look up to. And that absolutely informed resilience too, right? Like you said, like people who know me know, like I'm famous for just saying like, when something's presented to me, I'm like, how hard can it be? We'll figure it out. Like, how hard can it be? Honestly, like, and even when I went into business for myself, I remember listening to, there's a podcast called How I Built This. It's been around for a long time now, but he interviews famous entrepreneurs and, you know, his in his early days, I can't remember if it was the first one or the second episode he interviewed Sarah Blakely, who started Spanx. And it just like, it resonated with me. And a lot of those early ones, like Ben and Jerry's and whatever, but
yeah,
Spanx, you know, here's a woman who literally just wanted to have wanted to wear a pair of linen pants that didn't show her underwear through them, and wanted just kind of smoothed everything out, right? And I was going to Bergdorf's and cutting the feet out of nylons, pantyhose, and talked to the woman at Bergdorf's and found out that a lot of women did this and went, huh, this is an idea. Well, she was selling fax machines door to door. That was her job. She knew nothing about, right? But, and now she's still the single owner of that billion-dollar company, right? Like built it from the ground up, didn't know anything, literally said, how hard can it be? I can do this. I can figure it out. Wrote her own patents, you know, found what literally took a 2-week vacation from her fax machine job and went door to door knocking on factory doors and been like, somebody make this for me,
yeah.
You know? And I think there is like, I'm not saying, of course, there's people in this generation that are like that as well, but yeah, I think there is something to be said. We all had to figure it out, right? We've lived through so much change in our 50 years, right? That, and we've just had to roll with it and figure it out. So.
So true. Yeah. It's a generation of like problem solving on our own,
yeah,
for sure. I feel like that's also kind of added to for like, for me, for my career, just because, you know, sometimes you'll be on set and a director will ask you for something and you might not necessarily know how to do it, but you're like, yeah, absolutely, I got it. And you go to the back room. Okay, let's figure this out.
Sure. Yeah. Fake it till you make it.
Exactly. Fake it till you make it. Well, Jennifer, this has been an amazing conversation. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah.
So, and I definitely want to, maybe I'll come meet you at a drop-in dance
yeah,
class.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll have to re-listen to my episode on the pelvic floor in case I have any tips that I need to bring with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's one of my new favorite sayings is like, the only way out is through, right? Whether it's dance class or whatever it is, right? So like, it was super easy in the early days of taking, and I'm still far from perfect at dance class, but like, I can feel myself getting better. And it was super easy to just like, look at the teacher and look at the other people and be like, I'm never going to get this. You know, and but it's like everybody, literally every single person started as a beginner, right? Like there is no other way to start.
That's true.
And yes, some people have innate talent and whatever, and maybe that gives them a bit of a leg up, but there's a lot, that whole 10,000 hours theory, whatever, like there's lots of people that just made it work, right? And the only way out is through.
I noticed you, a lot of your videos, you're like that, you're like the front row, I'll be in the back.
Yeah, just get right up in front. And, yeah.
Yeah. You're like, I'm committing.
I literally don't care,
that's
right?
That's great. That's great.
And I just like to, you know, I've had a lot of moments where I, especially when I started, speaking of generations, like it hasn't been our generation to like post videos of ourselves dancing or singing, you know, like that's not what we've grown up as, right? And so when I first started dancing, I was really hesitant and shy about posting those
of
videos because it didn't feel right. It didn't feel weird. It felt very like, oh, I'm asking for attention or whatever. And often still, like, I'll get almost every time I post something like that, I'll get a DM or I'll get a comment that is just like, oh my God, you're so inspiring. Or, oh my God, I hope I'm like you when I'm 50, or, you know, or whatever. Or like, I went and met some girlfriends from university last weekend in Toronto. And the one, like, she never comments on anything. She never likes anything. I know she follows me, but literally the second I sat down, she was like, I am so proud of you. I'm like, for what? What did I do? And she was like, I just love following your dancing and all the things you're doing. And it's just like, it's awesome.
That's so nice.
And so like that, you know, I'm like, you know what? It's okay. It's okay to share these things. And I want to be a different example for the women behind us. Right. Like,
absolutely.
We had a different example. The boomer generation didn't, you know, we're doing midlife and retirement and 50s differently than the boomers were. Right. And I want to set that example for the millennials and the Gen Zers and all of that. So to know that it's okay, you know, you can just be whatever you want to be.
Absolutely. I love seeing your videos because again, like it's inspirational kind of show. Like I just turned 54. So I just kind of think like, okay, like maybe I can try this.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. And obviously other women are going to feel the same way, you know, and it's nice to see somebody that's posting things that are real. Cause I've seen some women that are over 50 that are posting things and you see the filters and it's just, and I get it because a lot of times people are not posting like real because social media is kind of, you know, aspirational advertising basically. So to filter through and see the non-filtered, that's great. So thank you for hearing all that.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. It's a struggle. We all look in the mirror and be like, I don't look like I was when I was 25, you know, and we, cause we don't see ourselves that way in our head. Right. But
yeah,
I try to just remind myself that it's better to be real, right? It's better to be real for those behind me, for those looking, because I like it when I see real things. So,
And especially being mothers of daughters too, I feel like that's
yes.
also important.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure my kids think it's totally cringe that I post videos,
Well,
but
I don't
you
think
know.
I don't know if you've listened to the podcast, but my last episode, I opened up talking about yeast infections and putting hydrogen peroxide in between my legs when I was in my early 20s. So I was waiting for my youngest daughter to be like, "Mom, seriously, stop it."
Yep, it's life.
Thanks for tuning in to the Fuck You 50s. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to follow and rate the podcast. And we'd love to connect with you on Instagram, so be sure to follow us at the Fuck You 50s. The Fuck You 50s is hosted by Andrea Clare and edited and produced by Bespoke Productions Hub. See you next time.